Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, happy Freedom Friday out there to all of our listeners across Montana. We are going to have this Freedom Friday with an open lines Friday. If you got something you want to talk about, you can call into the show. I know we've been packing in a lot all week long here. But yeah, if you got a topic you want to raise, you got something you want to be heard all across Montana, give us a ring, 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. That's another easy way if you're, you know, busy or you're a little shy to call into this show. Just send us a quick message on the app. That's a great way to be heard. But yeah, another thing that I wanted to do was, you know, kind of wrap up the week the way we started the week. On Monday's show, we had our friend Sarge, Jim Sargent, join us on the show. And you guys remember Sarge? He got his start on KSEN Radio in Shelby, and then eventually on KINX, our Great Falls affiliate. Great guy, but you know, he was talking about a recent trip that he took to Glacier National Park, and he was just talking about how the tourists were running around like crazy, and they were being disrespectful and ignoring park rangers, parking anywhere, even in the no parking spots, going off of trails. Well, then I caught up with my friend George Blackard, and he basically described the same thing happening in Yellowstone National Park, which made my point for me. This is why it should be easier for Montanans to be able to go into national parks like Glacier National Park, for example, instead of harder with this whole reservation system that the Biden regime put into place. Well, one thing that President Trump is working to change right now, and apparently this is an idea that came from, you know, the park employees themselves, the boots on the ground, who said, hey, here's one thing we could do. And President Trump already unveiled an executive order to do this, is they're going to increase the entrance fees for foreigners. You know, you and I, we pay taxes and typically pay entrance fees to our national parks as well. Not only that, but we fund and support all the infrastructure to get in and out of these national parks. So we shouldn't have to pay more. But the foreigners can pay more, and they'll still keep coming. So it could bring in, apparently, what was it, like $500 million a year into our national parks. A lot of that money that can then be invested directly into the very parks that they're investing. So, but here's the other big picture is that, okay, executive orders from President Trump are great. But executive orders can be done away with another executive order by another administration down the road. So that's why it's important to codify some of these good ideas. Well, that's what our congressional delegation, including Montana's Western District Congressman Ryan Zinke, along with Senator Tim Sheehy, that's what they're moving to do right now as we speak. I caught up with Congressman Zinke earlier this morning from Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. I'll share some highlights with you. But more importantly, we'll be taking your phone calls if you get something you want to talk about. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk.
Keep here. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, here we go. Let's jump right into it. I got a chance to catch up with Montana's Western District Congressman and former Trump Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke earlier this morning from Capitol Hill.
Great to be with you. And up front, Aaron, I'm still in Washington, D.C. I'm still at my desk. A lot of paperwork to catch up on, a lot of bills to make calls on, and one of them is on our parks. Is look, our foreign friends, they don't pay taxes, and our parks require heavy maintenance, and the expectation is the bathrooms are clean, the service is excellent, and the parks remain the benefit and enjoyment for the people. That's why we have our park system. But an idea that came from our superintendents themselves in the front line, both in Glacier and Yellowstone, is that, look, foreign, when we go to a park, say in Europe or Africa, and there's a surcharge. And a $40 surcharge for our foreign visitors, that translates into over $500 million going into the parks. And remember, on concessions that go through the kiosk, 80% of that money stays in that park. So parks like Glacier, like Yellowstone, they get a lot of foreign visitors, and we encourage our visitors to visit parks. But that surcharge will go a long ways in making sure that the superintendent has funds that are for, you know, park specific infrastructure, bathrooms, conveniences, trails, maintenance, all that kind of stuff that stays in the park. It is absolutely necessary.
Yeah, it just makes sense. Anybody who's visited our national parks, especially Yellowstone and Glacier, you see a ton of not just out-of-state visitors, but a ton of international visitors, busloads of international visitors. And so the idea here is like, look, we can raise the fees on foreigners. The rest of us pay taxes for all of this stuff. And not to mention what we do at the local level for the infrastructure. We can raise the entrance fees on foreigners, and they'll still keep on coming. It won't stop them from coming. So it's just kind of common sense. President Trump issued an executive order, but I think what you guys are doing, what you're helping to lead the effort on, is, hey, we need to codify this stuff as well by passing legislation.
Yeah, and we give the authority for the superintendents to make the final decision on those that have a system in place. And also we exempt Glacier Park. Remember, our Canadian friends, that's a joint park, the Peace Park, so there's two sides of it. So we exempted the parks that are, you know, on our international borders, accessible by both. And then, I looked at it again. This came from the front line troops. They're saying, yeah, look, you know, right now I can tell you that only like 2 out of 10 cars pay anything to go to our parks. Because someone in that car has a pass of some type, either the third grader or veterans or retired or, you know, disabled, you know, pick one. Someone in that car has one. So, for the kiosk and the visitor fees that stay in the park, I think this is a great solution.
What I love about this topic, too, is, you know, with President Donald J. Trump back in the White House now, it opens up everything to what can we do to make America great again, which means what do we do to make our timber industry great again? What do we do to make our national parks great again? It's wide open. President Trump wants to make everything great again, and we've got a Republican majority right now to help make it happen.
Well, and, you know, on our forests, there's a lot of frustration out there, and the, you know, sale of public lands topics came up. But a lot of the frustration comes from the gross mismanagement, where if you're in Lincoln County, Mineral County, you know, and you live in a sea of trees, but yet can't take one of them out and witness and watch every season, you know, more 2x4s burning up than you ever were harvested. That gets pretty discouraging, and there's a lot of anger out there. I think a lot of the solution is better management, better access to our public lands, and make sure the trail system works out there. But, our timber, it's a renewable resource. I think we need to be much more aggressive on removal of dead and dying timber and those type of issues. But also make sure we have working forests that are healthy. And working forests that are healthy require removal of trees, mechanically prescribed burns, harvested, all the above, in order to make sure that, look, we got to take care of our assets, and taking care of the forest is one of our principal assets.
On that front, I saw a great news story that was shared by our friends at KJJR Radio in the Flathead. It was a Hungry Horse news piece. Expect more timber harvest on the Flathead, especially now that there is a nationwide directive to increase timber harvest by 25%. So that's great news. Back to Glacier National Park here as well, as we talk about national parks with Congressman Ryan Zinke. I know you have been speaking out against this absurd reservation system to access Glacier. I mean, as somebody who, like you, grew up as a kid where, hey, we could just drive to and through Glacier whenever we wanted to. It was just one of the great things about being a Montanan. And then now this reservation system. And, you know, earlier this week, Sarge, our friend Sarge, who used to be on the radio in Great Falls, he said he did a trip to Glacier, and it was just overrun by tourists who did not know how to treat the land and to respect the land, nor any of that, right? And my point was, you know, well, if we had more Montanans in Glacier, they would be policing up more of these foreign or out-of-state tourists. All right, we'll hold it right there. We'll get the reaction from Congressman Ryan Zinke right after this. And plus, both he and I agree with our friend Ken in Great Falls on one specific topic in particular that came up earlier in the week. So I think that will be here right after this. Stand by.
Fox Facts.
One of America's favorite summer treats started as a happy accident back in 1905. In San Francisco, 11-year-old Frank Epperson mixed powdered soda and water in a cup and left it outside overnight. Temperatures dropped, and by morning, the mixture had frozen solid with the stirring stick still inside. He called it an Epsicle, blending his name with the word icicle. Epperson kept on making the frozen treats for friends, but it wasn't until 1923 that he patented the idea and began selling his Epsicles at California amusement parks. His kids reportedly pushed him to rename them Popsicles, and the name stuck. He later sold the rights to a larger company, and by the 1930s, Popsicles were being mass-produced nationwide, a cheap and cheerful treat during the Great Depression. Today, more than 2 billion are sold each year, all thanks to a cup of sweet liquid left out on a cold San Francisco porch. Matt Murphy, Fox News.
Hi, I'm...
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, I almost forgot about this story. Have you guys, I went and checked X during the break there. I checked the app messages. I checked X just to see what folks are out there yapping about and chatting about. But Western Montana News shared this video of former Democrat Senator John Tester. You know, he's an MSNBC contributor now. But he was taking part in this 2024 Democrats autopsy report. They're trying to do an autopsy on why the Democrats just got their backsides handed to them in the last election. But I was watching this video. I was like, holy cow, he has lost a lot of weight.
You're looking good, brother. Let me tell you something, brother.
Yeah, he has lost a lot of weight. If you're looking at this video here, I said, somebody sure looks fancy after no longer needing the I'm just a dirt farmer shtick. But yeah, he has lost a lot of weight. Good for him, by the way. Good for him. It was funny, earlier this morning, I was asking Caden if he had seen this tweet, if he had seen this video. And I said, yeah, he looks like he lost like 100 pounds or 200 pounds. I mean, it looks like he went on the Billings Last Diet Ideal Protein Diet. But of course, our good friends there, they would never, you know, tell you. They always respect people's privacy, so they would never tell me if JT was on BLD or not, or maybe taking the Ozempic. But either way, but it was funny when I asked Caden, I said, hey, did you see this story about, you know, this video? John Tester, he has lost a lot of weight. He's like, well, you know, once you lose that government check... So I guess maybe he's not spending as much time at the bistro cacao. But either way, though, in all seriousness, though, good for him and good for his family because, yeah, it's so important for your health, of course, as the – maybe he's just a big fan of RFK Jr. and the MAHA agenda, the Make America Healthy Again agenda. Maybe that's what's driving it here. All right, who knows? All right, back to it here, and then we'll get to your phone calls and more. 406-294-0970. Here's a more of our conversation here with Congressman Zinke from earlier this morning from Capitol Hill.
Well, yeah, certainly each park is different. So my advocacy for the reservation system was, you know, initially they had it at 5. They brought it to 3. I think it should be at noon. But with Glacier, you know, the issue is parking. It's not trailheads, it's not trail density, it's parking because the whole system, you know, it goes in on the west, and then you're going to follow that same road up to Logan Pass. But it's about parking. And so for Glacier, I've always thought the really solution is a better transportation system. And I've called it transporter, something that you know, you'd wait in line for 30 minutes on which would relieve a lot of the stress on the parking. And quite frankly, you could, you know, you could make these experiences uplifting where you have access and determination of which trailhead, you know, doesn't have a lot of density on it. So you can be on existing technology, you can make the park experience in Glacier, I think, much better with a transporter and a system that actually works.
Totally agree. In fact, I think our listeners, left or right, because that was partly why Sarge joined us on the radio, was he wanted ideas. What can we do to improve our national parks, or as I would say, to make them great again? And you know, and I think it was our liberal friend, Ken in Great Falls, who said, hey, we need a better transportation infrastructure so that people don't have to, you know, and those of us that want to drive can, but then a lot of people just say, hey, I'll go for the ride.
Well, yeah, and you can make it, you know, based on the red bus experience, you know, make them very clever. You can make them EV, you can make them gas, you can make them, you know, natural gas, you can make them whatever you want to. But the idea is that really not make the limitation on Glacier Park or parking space.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, great chat with Congressman Zinke. We talked more about making our timber industry great again as well. And later today, you can go find that full conversation on the Montana Talks podcast here. Well, let's get to your phone calls. 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. All right. Here we go. Greg Franks in Billings on the phone lines. Greg, what's going on?
I'm doing well, A.A. Ron. What's happening with you?
Hey, yep, I done messed up. A.A. Ron, you know what I'm saying? It's a Friday, though.
You know, it's a Friday. Say, I was perusing Twitter the other day, and I saw that MSN clip with John Tesser and this group of whatever they want to call them, scene from the Star Wars bar scene. But what I found fascinating is that John Tesser was claiming, you know what we need to do? We need to get the money out of politics. And I said, well, that's quite rich. Here's a guy that spent almost $500 million on this on the Senate reelection bid. He outspent Tim Sheehy 10-1. And now he's saying, well, because that didn't work, we need to get all money out of politics so that they can rig the system another way to where they can win.
Great point. Well, and not only that, but the other gig, in addition to his MSNBC gig now, is John Tester, like his buddy, former Democrat Governor Steve Bullock, is running a dark money group. So the guy is running a dark money group over here, and then on MSNBC saying, oh, there's just too much money in politics.
It's a good thing we got rid of him, and we need to make a point to make sure that Montana stays on this conservative trajectory and continue to get good people elected.
Yeah, I saw somebody, Kat in eastern Montana, she says she thinks that, well, the reason why he lost the weight and he looks all fancy now is because he does, like, he's no longer doing the I'm just a dirt farmer shtick now. Now he looks like another MSNBC contributor, right, with the fancy glasses and the fancier haircut. It's like he's now free to be who he really is. He doesn't have to pretend to be the moderate I'm just a dirt farmer anymore. Now he can be who he really is. He's free.
Yeah, he's a skinny
libtard. Well, but
hey, Kat, you have a good day.
Hey, all right, you too. Yeah, but Kat was saying, she's like, oh, he's running for governor. John Tester's running for governor. And I'm like, man, if he were to run for governor, he will get smoked by somebody like Attorney General Austin Knutson, the best AG in the country, if you ask me. In fact, I mean, it's no secret whatsoever that John Tester was so afraid that Austin Knutson would run against him in that U.S. Senate race last year that's partly why the hardcore leftists and the Democrats were launching these phony complaints against Attorney General Austin Knutson. It wasn't because there was a serious competitor to Austin Knutson running for attorney general. It's that John Tester was deathly afraid that Attorney General Austin Knutson, this rock star young ranch kid out of northeast Montana, would challenge him for the United States Senate. But, of course, Austin Knutson, you know, he doesn't want to be back in Washington. Thankfully, now, speaking of Washington, we've got Navy SEAL veteran and United States Senator Tim Sheehy on the job. In fact, let's go to that. I was kind of thinking, what story should we talk about next? But that's a perfect transition here. So I think one of the best things about having a military veteran like Tim Sheehy in the United States Senate is that, okay, now we have somebody there who gets it, who not only gets it from a foreign policy standpoint, from a national defense standpoint, but somebody who gets it as a veteran, who gets it from a veteran's standpoint as well. I saw, I think the VA secretary, Doug Collins, was testifying before the Senate VA committee. Separately, in the House VA committee, I saw that our friend Dallas Knight had testified before the House VA subcommittee. And I think the same thing that she is talking about. Remember Dallas Knight, she started Operation Juliet to really make sure that our women warriors are being taken care of, that our women veterans are being taken care of. But I think she's basically making the same argument that Senator Tim Sheehy is making here, is that, look, the VA in so many ways is so great for our veterans. I was just at the VA earlier this week, and I'll talk more about that here a little bit later, and had incredible folks that I got to see at the VA here in Montana earlier this week. It was just great people, right? But the reality is like the VA can't have a building everywhere. And even if they build the building, who's to say they're going to be able to hire the people to man the building? And so that's partly what Tim Sheehy had to say with the VA secretary in the House.
Almost 10% of our state are veterans in a frontier healthcare market, not just rural healthcare, frontier healthcare. To assume that we can build a clinic close enough to every veteran and make sure they have the access in a time of urgent emergency need is fantasy. It is fantasy. They have to be able to access community care. And there's been an intentional obstruction of that within the agency. And the more money we spend and the more contracts we issue, the more people we hire are not solving the problem. It's not. So are we going to solve the problem or are we going to create jobs? And for me, I'm about mission. Having served in combat like Jeremiah and yourself, I'm worried about what's good for the veterans. And I believe Senator King and everyone else is too. We may not agree, but the data does not lie. And the data shows that despite hiring tens of thousands of extra employees and spending billions and billions upon billions of more money on contracts and people and buildings and brick and mortar, it hasn't improved the situation. So I applaud the efforts of Secretary Collins. Have they been perfect? No. Changing a massive organization is never going to be easy or fast. We're going to make mistakes, but something has to change. The trajectory of how we're dealing with our veteran care model has to change. And this administration is changing that, and I support it.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, the Trump administration started to change it for the better in his first administration, and then we all know what happened with the Obama-Biden coup attempt after that and the Russia hoax and the manufacturing of this phony intelligence to justify their coup against Donald Trump. And then what ended up happening? Veterans care started going down again. And so, like so many other things, they're working to make the VA great again here with a lot of these reforms. All right, what did Dallas Knight have to say, female veteran, lives here in Montana, about this very type of VA reform? While Sheehy was talking on the Senate side, she was on the House side. I'll play that next. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordland.
Yesterday, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association announced that for the first time in 20 years, Australia will now accept shipments of fresh and frozen U.S. beef, ending decades of bureaucratic red tape and prolonged negotiations that have prevented American cattle producers from accessing the Australian market. Ethan Lane with the NCBA thanked President Donald Trump for delivering yet again what they classified as a trade win for America's cattle producers.
Cattle producers across the country are extremely grateful to the president and his team for holding Australia's feet to the fire on this issue. This is something the president mentioned during his reciprocal tariff announcement in the Rose Garden that we were pleased to be a part of several months ago. We've talked quite a bit about Australia selling billions of dollars of product into the U.S. market over the 20 years years we've had a free trade agreement with them while failing to hold up their end of the bargain to provide that same reciprocal access for U.S. beef producers into the Australian market. That situation has been rectified by Australia finally doing the right thing and granting that reciprocal access into our market, and we are very grateful to the president and his team for delivering on that promise and making that happen for U.S. cattle producers.
Lane said that opening the Australian market to American beef will benefit producers in the U.S. while also offering Australian consumers the opportunity to enjoy high-quality corn-fed beef, for example. That's your news. I'm Lane Northland.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, since it's Freedom Friday and now we're talking veterans issues and more, let me do a couple of cool shout-outs here on this Freedom Friday. First off, I got to tell you guys, I'm so proud. I'm so excited. Our oldest son just graduated high school last month. They had a June graduation ceremony. And just this week, earlier this week, he just enlisted in the United States Coast Guard. So I'm so excited, very excited for that, and I can guarantee you this, this old Army guy will live vicariously through him. I'm just excited to hear more about the Coast Guard because, you know, I did Army stuff, and so I'm really excited to hear about Coast Guard stuff. So anyway, yeah, we are very excited about that one. I posted that on X last night and just got some great responses, some nice notes from listeners all across the state, friends across the board, and even Congresswoman Nan Hayworth, Dr. Nan Hayworth, who I interviewed earlier this week. She gave a nice shout out. And then I also got this nice note from at MT Cowpoke on X. The MT Rancher on X says this: Aaron, please give a shout out to the Montana Warriors on the Water crew who have 25 Purple Heart veterans fishing at Hell Creek all week, and Clint Thomas for hosting them. So anyway, yeah, thanks for sharing that message so we could give that shout out as well. Thanks to all those out there who serve our veterans out there. Just can't say thank you to you enough. Another shout out here. This was really cool. I posted this on X last night. Congrats to Montana's Chief Justice, Corey Swanson, and all of the soldiers of the 163rd who just received the Superior Unit Citation from the United States Army. For those of you who don't know, Montana Supreme Court Chief Justice Corey Swanson was the commander of the Montana National Guard's 163rd. It's the 163rd Cavalry Regiment of the Montana Army National Guard. I always called it the Infantry Battalion, but it's officially the Cavalry Regiment. But yeah, he was the commander of the unit at the time, and of course now is I think still in the National Guard, but is the Chief Justice of the Montana Supreme Court as well. But yeah, they just got word that they have received a Superior Unit Citation. So very cool news to all of the soldiers in the 163rd out there. Thanks for what you do. All right, let's go into the phone lines. We got Jeff in Polson first up here. Jeff, what's going on? Thanks for the call.
Hey, good morning. Happy Freedom Friday.
Hey, you too.
Before I get to my point, congratulations on your son enlisting. I mean, I enlisted for all the wrong reasons, stay out of Vietnam, and ended up starting a military dynasty. My son is an Army vet, and all five of my daughters are married to either active or former military. So you just never know where it's going to lead when you raise your right hand and swear to pull the Constitution. So
somehow God's plans are better than our plans. Isn't that funny how that works?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And I think John Tester has lost weight because he no longer has access to the lobbyists.
So no more lobbyist dinners. Yeah, I'm assuming he's still making. He must be making really good money though, running that dark money outfit though. So yeah. So I. Man, who knows?
Pension.
Yeah.
His pension, but. But you had Chaplain Josh, I believe, on from Kerrville earlier, last hour, and one of the things I wanted to warn people of a certain age, in other words, my age, about is donating to charities. In L.A., after the fires, they received something like $500 million in charitable donations. But the state of California hasn't given that to individuals. They've given it to NGOs. Some of those NGO leaders, CEOs, are earning six figures in California. And so when you donate to somebody, be really careful who you're donating to, because your money may just go to pay somebody's salary and not get to the people who need it.
Yeah. Or it might go to support a human trafficking operation on the southern border, because whatever NGO, you know, is, they direct your funding that way. You think you might be providing, like you say, fire relief in L.A., but then it goes to some wacko environmental group that doesn't want you to, you know, create fire breaks in California. So they're actually adding to the problem. No, that's a great point. Yeah, Pastor Justin Carpenter, Kerrville, Texas. He's actually my cousin, my stepdad's nephew. And he's just been doing incredible work, and because he's right there in ground zero of the flooding and the devastation and the tremendous loss. But whatever money they get at Cross Kingdom Church down there in Kerrville, Texas, they're giving it right straight to folks in need. Crosskingdom.org.
That's the perfect way to do it.
Yeah.
That's exactly the right way to do it.
Yeah. So crosskingdom.org is the website if anybody wants to help and can help. And then if you missed it, go to the Montana Talks podcast. And he mentioned some of the other organizations that are doing incredible work as well, like Samaritan's Purse, et cetera, and other groups that are giving the money to the people that need it. So, yeah, I appreciate that. Well, Jeff, great to hear from you. Thanks for your service and your family's service. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling in on this Freedom Friday, 406-294-0970. Next up, we got a caller in Belfry. Tell me your name. Who's the caller from Belfry here?
Hi, my name is Amarin.
Ah, okay.
I live in the Belfry area.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm calling. Well, I just heard that your son has been listening, so congratulations on that. I have two of my daughters. One is in the National Guard, and the other one is a youngster at the Annapolis Naval Academy. So
wow.
They don't regret their choices, let's call it that. But I actually was calling because of their talk about the national parks and the reservation system. And I wanted to say that also applies to all the campgrounds nowadays. You can't spontaneously go into the park and, you know, living this close to Yellowstone, you have to have always reservations, and it takes the spontaneity out of it. And that's kind of what I hope that they're going to change again, to have some more open spots, but I don't know, very hopeful under Trump. So that's pretty much all I wanted to say.
Yeah, you could apply that across the board, really, even with state parks and national forest campgrounds, too. And I know they try to get creative with, you know, having day of spots available because, unless you're able to book a year in advance, or, you know, you don't have to go to work all week and you can go camp your parker, you park your camper out whenever, in a lot of places, good luck finding a spot, right?
Yeah, it's very hard, you know, and even if you just have a tent, I was lucky a couple weeks ago, I drove into Yellowstone and went to Madison Campground, I had my little tent, and I said, hey, I can go on a biker hiker place, but then, you know, I had to do something with my car, but they said, no, we can do it for tonight, but, you know, so I was lucky there, but in general, it's kind of, like, even for a tent place, you know, if they had some public parking, maybe, you know, that you just walk in with your tent, maybe that's another option. Little more flexibility there.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. What I need to do, I need to go into my archives on the Montana Talks website, because there was one day I was live on the radio, and I'm like, I'm talking on the radio, but I'm simultaneously on the National Park Reservation website trying to get a campsite in Yellowstone, and we got one. But the people at the campground told me there's a website that will monitor last-minute openings. And if you sign up on that website, it will like send you email updates like, hey, these spots are available in Yellowstone, for example. And so I need to find that, because that would come in handy. Although it's a little hard to plan ahead for that one. So
yeah, that's true. But sometimes planning ahead is not part of the fun. You know, sometimes you just want to go.
That's right. Yeah, the spur of the minute is sometimes not only easier and better to do, but sometimes it's more fun that way too. Well, thanks so much for your family service and sacrifice. The Naval Academy, that's incredible.
Yeah, it sure is.
Well, we'll have to.
You're very proud.
Well, tell her to come join us on the show one of these days when they get some time off to be back home. It'd be an honor to get a chance to interview your kids and thank them for stepping up and serving. Thank you so much for the phone call. Let's see. Do we still got Jerry in Circle? Okay, Jerry in Circle. Are you there, Jerry?
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. Actually, it's Jerry in the middle of big, beautiful Garfield County right now. My grandson Kenny and I are on our way to Lewistown for the grand opening of Vacom there in Lewistown in central Montana. So an exciting day that Senator Bartel and former Commerce Director Greg Osterman worked really hard to see it through to fruition, and now big day is actually here.
Yeah, huge news. Yeah, for those who don't recognize the voice, I do, Representative Jerry Schillinger out of Circle. Yeah, I thought you might be calling in from some farm equipment, but you're actually on the road today.
Yeah, actually, you're going to make me feel guilty a little bit. The moisture is finally down to about 14% on our lentils that we tried yesterday. I'm still too wet. It's been a rainy season, but I just felt a real need to get to Lewistown to help commemorate an important day for Central Montana and recognize the hard work of those people, Director Osterman and Senator Bartel, that worked so hard to get it there.
Well, hold that thought. I'll come back to you right after the break. Stand by.
Hi, I'm Montana Highway Patrol Colonel Kurt Sager, encouraging you to stay safe on the road this summer.
New News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL, your home for Fox News, Hannity, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Montana. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, well, that was easy enough. So, yeah, talking with our that great phone call we got from Belfry, and I said, what was the name of that website where if you want to find a last-minute campsite in Yellowstone or Glacier, campflare.com, campflare.com. But anyway, what I did is I just took the article that I originally published back in the summer of 2021 and then republished in 2023, and I republished it for today. So if you go to MontanaTalks.com right now, you can find that very article about how to find a last-minute campsite in Yellowstone or Glacier. All right, glad that was easy. You got to make it easy for a guy like me. I wasn't an engineering student in college, let's just say that. All right, back to Representative Jerry Schillinger in Circle. Great to hear you getting the moisture. It's just too bad that it had to come at harvest time instead of before. This Vacom news, this is huge. This is an estimated $90 million investment by 2030, 500 good-paying Montana jobs. We're talking, this is from a press release from Governor Gianforte's office, jobs that support the production of vacuum mechanics, electrical feed-throughs, vacuum measurement technology, vacuum optics, and high-purity parts cleaning technology. Expected to create about 50 high-tech Montana jobs by 2027, but the grand opening is this afternoon in Lewistown, which is where you're headed. So, this is a huge deal.
Yeah, it's really exciting. As I said, Senator Bartel and Director Osterman work really hard to sell Central Montana to Vacom, and they recognize the work ethic of the people in that area and just all that the area had to offer. So it was a really big deal landing. The only manufacturing spot that Vacom will have in the United States is right there in central Montana. So pretty cool. And like you said, really good paying jobs. It's a industry that isn't looking for tax breaks and handouts. They're a prosperous, privately owned company, actually, family in Germany that owns them. And so they're going to be there today to help celebrate this great event.
Well, and And the other thing is, you know, these are like engineering type jobs. So, you know, that attracts kind of more of your Montana lifestyle folks. You know, you're not bringing in some mask wearing Seattleite, right? You know, you get what I'm putting down here, right?
Yeah. And interestingly enough, Aaron, there isn't an engineering school in the country that actually trains engineers to do what Bauxcom needs them. So they'll hire engineers, but then they train them for the specific technology that they have, which is, I think you might have mentioned, integral to the manufacture of computer chips. So this is a huge thing that actually President Trump started back in his first term of bringing the chip manufacturing industry to America, so we're not vulnerable to countries like the communist Chinese and things like that. So it's a really big deal, and perhaps an opportunity for, say, like Montana State University or one of our universities to broaden their educational offerings to cater to people just like Bauxcom to train engineers for technology that is coming right here to our state today. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting. And
yeah,
actually, interestingly as well, Bauxcom intends, at least that's what they said at their big announcement, was they intend to actually educate and offer education to youth right there in Lewistown, daycare for their employees, and then education right there on site. So they may train up people right from the very get-go. And to go along with that, my grandson Kenny's 10 years old, and he's really tuned into it. He's traveling with me today. He wanted to be there.
Oh, cool.
To see exactly what's going on. So,
well, and that's what this is all about. Look, there's parts of Montana that have exploded in population growth, but there's rural Montana that's losing population and losing kids in their local schools. And so I know there's some people that are worried, is Lewistown going to get overrun? But this is what's going to, you know, be future opportunities for families to stay and work in Lewistown and other surrounding small towns in and around the area as well. All right, Jerry, have a great...
Yeah. I was just going to say, to go along with that, Aaron, it really dovetails right into the agricultural community, because they are going to be hiring part-time people as well that may be a ranch wife or a young rancher that doesn't quite generate enough income out there on the ranch. They'll have opportunities to come in and work in this facility too, especially as things grow and hire. They're only bringing
in
a few people from outside. The rest are going to be all local hires. And so it'll dovetail right into the agricultural base of Central Montana.
Well, that's great. And a great phone call, Representative Schillinger. Thanks so much for calling in. I'll tell you what, if I was driving across Montana right now, I don't know about you guys, beautiful view, and you're like, man, it's so fun driving across Montana. But then my lower back, I'm like, oh, sitting is sometimes the worst thing for my lower back, is just sitting there. And then, you know, you need some energy because the drive can be long sometime. Well, let me tell you about Power Plus Pain Aid. If you're making a long drive across Montana and you got a little pain and you need an energy boost, Power Plus Pain Aid, created by a Big Fork Montana Marine, it's got energy. It's got natural pain-relieving vitamins all in one tiny little bottle. If you go to drinkpowerplus.com, enter the code FLINT15, FLINT15 at checkout, you'll get 15% off your orders. Power Plus Pain Aid, go to drinkpowerplus.com. All right, yeah, what a great phone call from Jerry.
Business.